Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool. Hello and welcome to the Des Bishop Podcast, literally live from the Meadows.
Right on the edge of the golf course.
Normally I don't start straight away, but I'm here with Jason Byrne, my good friend.
I think we should just start straight away.
So we are starting straight away.
Yeah, we might as well keep it cash, Des.
So we're literally on a couch. Like, today I said, Jay, let's do it outside. It's a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. I thought, where will we sit? And no word of a lie, when I arrived at Jason's outside Jason's apartment, there was a couch thrown out on the path.
But this is...
I think people won't believe it.
No, I don't think they will believe it, but this is... And it's quite a good couch. Well, is it a good couch to a man? Maybe a lady wouldn't like this as much, but a man is going to look at this and go, that's a good couch.
Yeah, it's a
fine
couch.
Why would you throw
couch.
That out?
So we're right next to the pitch and putt course. There's a guy across from us getting ready to play the 33rd
hole.
Can
you just hit that in and just sink that? There's basically a 36-hole golf course right beside us, which is the oldest golf course in the world.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
But we haven't verified that, but well, somebody could Google check that.
It definitely is. Well, right behind us is a pub here called the Golf Tavern. That's the thing with Edinburgh. Everything's really old, obviously.
This guy's putting off the rough here.
Yeah.
Which also is...
this is good podcast stuff.
Has other meanings.
If you close your eyes and think of it, he's putting off the rough, and he's a local. He knows...
He knows the rub of the green.
Yeah, and he's playing on his own.
It's very bad golf etiquette to be commenting on people's playing as they're playing. So I feel a bit bad, but anyway,
do you play
free tickets to Jason Byrne's show? If we've distracted you during your game.
Well, you know what I'm going to start doing tomorrow, which is I think a good idea here. Is I've got these little rubber ducks. I signed them and all. I'm going to plant them around the city, and whoever finds them gets 2 free tickets to the show.
That's a great idea. You know, you don't need. So let's get serious.
Yeah, let's get
you're
serious.
You're Jason Byrne.
Yeah,
Irish comedian, but you're a bit of an Edinburgh legend.
Yeah, it's 21 years now.
21 years. Yeah, since you did this, so you think you're fine.
Yeah, I did 1996, and I started here, and I didn't know I was going to get into the final, because we came here, and myself, Paddy Courtney, Bob Riley, a few of us, and we had money for 2 nights accommodation, but then I got through, and I had to stay. So Karen Corran, who ran it, went, oh, you're going to have to stay. So we didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to stay. We had no money, so we found these Irish nurses, and they let us stay.
You found them?
Yeah. We found them here. We were out drinking, and they went, oh, listen, we've nowhere to stay. Either we go home, we don't do the final, or we stay with yous, and they let us stay with them on the floor. And
so
then we did the final.
So it was you, Tommy, and...
Me, Tommy Tiernan, John Henderson, Patrick MacDonald.
John Henderson got in the final too?
Yeah, John came third.
Oh, I thought Patrick MacDonald came third.
No, I think he came... he came third and John came fourth.
Yeah.
But he actually got placed.
So Patrick MacDonald, for those that don't know, is the guy with the
big head.
From... Well, his Owen McLove is probably most known for, but he's also from The Naked Camera and from The Savage Eye.
Yeah, he does a lot of acting now,
Tommy Tiernan, you may have heard of him. He's
from the Tommy Tiernan. Tommy. Tommy Tiernan, Tommy World.
Jason and Jason was second that day. And you've done the festival every year since.
Yeah, so me and Tommy shared a bill in 97. And when we started that show, right, oh my God. So basically, Tommy said to the sound man, listen, will you give me a flash after about, 25, so I know I've done 30. And when it started, Tommy went on first. And the sound man was checking something on his desk after 10 minutes. And Tommy went, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. I'm in Tommy Tiernan.
So you had to do 50.
I didn't have 50. Tommy.
Jesus. Jason Byrne.
I didn't have 50.
For those that know the comedy world, I don't mean people that think they know comedy but never actually go to gigs, but those that know live comedy know that there was a time when Jason Byrne didn't have enough. Because I can assure you, for most of his career, the problem was getting them off.
Yeah, but
not
this,
having enough to stay on.
This was a serious problem, because Tommy passed me. And he went, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Byrne, because he brought me on. And as I passed him, I went, you've only done 10. And he went, what? And then I just went on, man.
Did you not bring him back up?
No. The
smart thing would have been to just bring him back up.
I know, but he was in a fluster. So was I. And I just got it going. I just managed to squash it. But the amazing thing that happened in that venue as well was Ray Davies came to see us in there.
The musician?
From the Kinks.
The Kinks.
He came in, me and Tommy was on stage, and he walked in and sat down. And we were going, that's Ray Davies. And then Brendan Gleeson came in and watched this. Yeah. And the reason why Brendan came in was that I was doing a movie called The General.
Oh, that's right. You were the journalist in The General.
So what happened was, right, man, listen. Right. And the way I got that audition, but I didn't even, like, basically I met John Borman in Dublin just before I left. And he asked me, well, what part would you like to play, Jason? And I said, The General. And he said, I'm very sorry, Jason, but Brendan Gleeson's already playing that part. And he goes, would you like to play that reporter guy from Today Tonight? I went, yeah, okay. So I come back after Edinburgh. Me and Tommy are living together. We've only basically eaten water and lemons while we've been here.
Right.
Because this was in Edinburgh years ago, before the recession and all. There was basically parties all the time, like Universal, Channel 4, BBC, free drinks all night.
Oh, yeah.
I remember doing shots out of an ice sculpture of a naked lady. That's the kind of money they had.
Back
you know what
in
I mean?
The day, yeah.
So me and Tommy went home. I'd lost about a stone in weight. I must have been about 11 stone only as I got back. John Borman looks at me on the set. I'm dressed as a reporter. And he goes, oh, my God, you look like my 10-year-old dressed up as a man. What the hell am I going to do? So I went, oh, man, I'm really sorry. I've been in Edinburgh. He goes, you fucking idiot, Jason. So anyway, a really mad thing. What a situation. There's me, John Borman, who's also director of Deliverance, one of the best movies ever.
Director.
Me, John Borman, Brendan Gleeson. I can't remember the actor's name. He played Charlo and all. He's such a great actor.
Sean McGinley.
Yeah, well done. So we're all... So in the days of no phones, right? No, like, iPads, laptops, nothing. I've got to watch the footage, of the actual footage of the reporter going up to the real Marion Cahill, right? And we have to watch it in the flats down by Patrick's Cathedral. Right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's where
we
shot it. We went in. This woman had an Alsatian in her kitchen locked in. So it was going, roo, roo, roo. And she's standing there in her nightie, right, in her dressing gown, with her fag in her mouth going, so what are you doing? You're making a movie, are you? And John Borman and me and Brendan Gleeson was looking at her going, Jason's just going to watch this on your video. So we borrowed her video recorder to, like, play the VHS tape.
But, like, they just randomly picked her, or she was involved in...
Well, one of the runners went in and just asked, knocked into one of the flats and said, if any of you got a video recorder we can watch.
So this is a VCR.
Yeah. So El Maisie, whatever her name was.
Rewind, fast forward.
Yeah,
like, you know.
We sat there, and there we are, rewinding, the four of us on the couch, and she's going, do you want tea or anything? Are you all right? We're going, no, we're all right. And then we went down and shot the piece right out in front there of St. Patrick's Cathedral on that little road there.
Yeah, by the fence of that park, right?
Yeah,
I remember that scene, and you were by a fence.
Oh, man, yeah, that scene has got... Okay, if you look in that scene, right, it's got buses going by. They even used a bit of rain on it. People, loads of extras all moving. And I kept getting my line wrong because I had to keep going.
What
up
was the line?
It was, hi, are you Marion Cahill? Did you rob the bite paintings, which are spelled B-E-I-T? Okay.
B-E-I-T, yeah. Out of that place in Wicklow, right?
Yeah, I kept saying be it, right? So the whole thing, all you hear is action. This is scary, man. I've never done anything like this. A huge, John Borman's on one of those, you know, those director kind of cranes. He's on that with the cameraman watching the over above, and he just goes, action. And, like, it's everybody's running. I rush all over. Brendan Gleeson, brilliant actor, comes out, hand on his face, and I go, did you rob the BS paintings? All I hear is, cut.
Oh,
everybody
God.
Stopped back to the start. I did it 3 times in a row. And Brendan Gleeson couldn't stop laughing underneath his hand.
He was laughing?
Yeah, he was going, Jason, seriously. Can you just say bite? And then John Borman comes over and shakes my shoulders and he goes, bite, bite, bite. And I went, okay. And I got it. I got it on the fourth time.
Oh, thank God. Do you ever wonder what people think as they pass us and they see two guys on a couch talk? One guy is talking into a normal mic and another guy is talking into a mic with two socks wrapped around it.
Well, I think it's... You know what? I'm surprised that we haven't had at least 10 people sit down in front of us.
I know. Well, I was hoping
people probably
we could talk to some people.
People probably think it's a show.
Oh, but anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I actually, to be honest, I wanted to talk to you specifically about being a dad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my own show now, Grey Matters, I'm talking a lot about being a sort of a backseat parent.
Mm.
You know, like, I tell you what I would do if they were my kids. You know, I'm observing a lot of other people raising my kids, but you're a bona fide dad.
Yeah.
You have a 16-year-old.
My 16-year-old who, and a 9-year-old, and my wife, and my wife and my 9-year-old are here, and my 16-year-old... is probably more mature than I am. Like, he is
solid. And he's
solid.
Back in Ireland now. He's at the age now where he doesn't want to be hanging out with you guys.
He doesn't want to come here. He did the best, like, chess move ever. Like, I had him all ready to come. And then he went, oh, Dad, who's going to look after our dog? We can't put him in a kennel. He kind of brought the dog down to the grandmother's.
Yeah.
Then the grandmother went, oh, look, we'll look after the dog. And then Devin went, yeah, but you're too old. Look after him on your own. I should really stay here. And I wasn't there. Brenda was there. And before I knew it, all his clothes and everything. And that was it. Done.
That was it. He's gone.
He's there. But he's staying in Drogheda. He goes to school there. His mates are there. And also, he's going to have a great time.
So one of the big themes in my show is very much the sort of, I look at my nephews and the life that they have. And it's very different to the childhood that I had.
Huge.
Do you ever look at the life you've given your kids and think, how did this happen? You know, you're on like a...
Well, it's...
You grew up sort of like, I guess what? Working to lower middle class, Ballantyre, Dublin.
Working class.
Working class, Ballantyre,
Dublin.
Ludford
Drive.
New estate.
Yeah.
In the, what, 70s kind
of... Yeah, loads of kids. Basically, loads of kids. So there's like normally four generations of kids on the road. So like there could be like, I don't know, there could be like 150 kids along that road, maybe more. Of all different ages. And I had the best childhood ever because we had a field. We'd play soccer in there. We had like a kind of a dried out tunnel, which was like a dried out riverbed, which we called a tunnel. And we'd hang out there, do all our kissing, drinking, smoking, do all that shit there. But my son's, now it's like, it's weird. Like he's 16 and they don't really do that. But I mean, it's like, how could we... It's because it's like progression. You can't really stop them looking at iPads and phones and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can get them into sport and get them out. He still loves getting out there. Loves going down to the beach. He went surfing with us down on the Hinge. He loved all that. But they still get sucked back into the gaming world. You know what I mean? Because they went to Comic-Con. Like Devin, like I've met loads of amazing people here in this festival. But Devin went, I played a whole session with the guy who invented Doom. Yeah, my life is complete.
Right, yeah, that's his bag.
Yeah.
And then they sit there and they watch like YouTube videos of guys playing games.
Well, listen, you and me do comedy. Like you put up your videos, you try and have a think about what a funny sketch is. The two lads are crying laughing the other day. I went in, looked at them on the iPad. They're looking at a guy who was basically just covering himself in eggshells, like smashing eggs off himself, throwing flour on himself and hammering a sandwich or something. Like, it was basically how to make a sandwich. And that's all he was doing.
And the lads thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's mayhem. And it only lasted for about 30 seconds as well. And it was all that kind of jittery, jumpy stuff. And but my nine-year-old, though, I mean, he's very sporty. So, like, he likes getting out and about still. So he's still there. But I reckon he'll be like that all the way.
Yeah.
But it's hard with the kids. Yeah, I mean.
But don't you think, I mean, it's not a decision that you've made because it's just kind of some sort of trend. But, like, kids, you kind of communicate a lot more with kids nowadays and stuff. Like, you ever stop and go, wow, fucking hell. Like, I never talked to my dad. Like, did you ever, like, sit down with your dad and go, you know, like, and just talk the way that you would talk with Daniel about, playing golf or...
We never really seen our dad because he, like, did 9 to 5 and then he went to the pub for his pints, came home, had his dinner, hung out for a little bit and then went back up to the pub. You know what I mean? That was the whole road nearly did that. Yeah. Unless there was a parents that didn't drink. There was actually only a handful of them. And they'd maybe come out and play soccer with us or something. But no, I sit down, I talk to Daniel about anything, talk to Devin about stuff. It doesn't matter. And you can, and the only danger, I mean, this is the flip side of that, is that when you sit down and you talk to a kid, because kids are so open now because they have the internet, your sense of authority, it can come down a bit too much to their level. So when I had my dad,
you were growing up,
he was his father figure. Even though he didn't really raise us properly or anything, but you were still afraid of him. So he still disciplined you. So if something happened in the house, he was the one that stood in that room and went, don't you ever do that again.
Yeah.
Don't do that again. He was never our friend. So we never had that connection with him. So he was this man that if he was walking into that room to say that, it was all over. You shit yourself. He never hit us though, but he was the one. But for me, because I have such an amazing relationship with my two lads, it's very, you've got to play, be careful how you play that line.
I know, because you do, like, I think I'm, and my dad was Nelly James Bond, I think I made a bit of a joke about the fact that my mother raised us and my dad tried to be our friend.
Yeah.
But it was different because my dad didn't have any authority in the house and he didn't need to have it because my mother was the drill sergeant.
Yeah.
My mother was the boss. But, like, I do see that a lot more nowadays where it's like, how do you keep the line in the modern way where you're kind of half trying to be your friend, your kid's friend, while at the same time trying to be the discipliner.
Yeah, and it's very hard because Devin's 16, so he's very mature for his age.
Like, very mature.
No, mature. And he's very intelligent, so he's... obviously passing me out in intelligence because he's constantly like, he's in school and he's just, he's brilliant in school. He's doing really well.
So you were a messer, right?
I was a messer, but I did really well all the way up to third year. Like, I had really good results. Then I hit fifth year and I just went
started
nuts.
Jerking off.
Yeah, jerking off other people, jerking off each other. We're all jerking, jerking the teachers off. Everybody's jerking off. And basically, our school was so bad, like, teachers didn't keep an eye on us. They didn't give a shit. You know what I mean? Once you fell away, they didn't care, which is really sad. So, like, nowadays they keep an eye on the kids. But, like, with Devin, yeah, he's very mature. So if I go, look, Devin, you can't do that, he's got so many answers for, like, why not. Like, you can't. And he's not a bad kid. Do you know what I mean? That's the, I'm pretty lucky like that. But I've got it. I still... But I, you know what I can talk? I can talk to him about drugs and sex and everything. And he doesn't go, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it was... I actually felt amazed. And he was going, Dad, what's heroin look like? Do you know what
really?
I mean? Yeah. And I was going, oh, I'll tell you. It's kind of brownie powdery stuff. I don't know. I've never really seen it too much. And then I explained what cocaine... So... His mates in school at that age will all go, yeah, we all know. But I knew he must have had that conversation in school. Because he asked me to break it down. So he went, what happens with E? What happens with coke? What happens with grass? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had to tell him all that. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay. And Jody said afterwards, he goes, Dad, he goes, well, thanks very much, Dad, thanks.
Really?
Yeah. He goes, thanks for that. That's good to know. It's good to know. Because, you know, he goes, he thinks it was people in school smoking grass around that, literally at the bike sheds, you know.
And now, how would you feel about him smoking weed?
I don't know. You know what I mean? Well, right now, I'd have to rip into him because I'm just not into that at all. And not his little life. Like, Jesus, that's terrifying.
So, would you prefer him drinking than smoking weed?
Well, no, not either. I tell him not to booze either.
Yeah.
And he goes...
But he's not drinking already at 16?
No, you see, this is the thing with Dev. He's also the worst liar in the world. Like, literally, he goes red or starts crying, which is so beautiful. He gets caught straight away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, who ate those biscuits? Oh, I didn't. It wasn't me, right? And it's like, that's it, we got you. So, but he's also, he's pretty open with us. You know, I think that, I told him, I said, you know, if you drink or take drugs, now you gotta tell me, you know, because it's all pretty dangerous stuff.
Really?
And he goes, yeah, Dad. And he also goes, Dad, I'm not going to be one of those kids. I'm just not going to be one of those kids.
I know, but like
said.
When I think about, like, okay, I'm a bad example because I started drinking.
Yeah, you started drinking. You're like, yeah, what? Yeah, the but hell no,
but listen,
that?
Just listen for a sec, right? So, at 13, I remember this one night, I downed a coffee mug of Bacardi at
Jesus
Joe Lane's house, right?
Christ.
And I remember my buddy Nick, who then later died when he was 18 from a degenerative heart condition, but that's neither here nor there. I remember him pulling me to the side and saying, yo, man, he was older than me by 2 years, but he was like my best friend. And he said, you can't do that. That's not what this is for. Like, this is like for fun, but I was the only one that did it, right? Like, nobody else was drinking that night. Anyway, long story short, I was pretending to be asleep on the couch that night, and my mother was saying to my father, he's been drinking. I can smell it. And my dad was like, come on, Eileen. He's 13 years old. He's not drinking, man. In total denial. And then a year later, I got caught drinking. I was lying on the kitchen table in a pool of my own vomit.
Oh,
when my parents walked in.
Shit.
But the point is that my dad was in complete denial until it was too late.
Yeah.
Even when I was lying in my own puke, my mother said, he was like, nah, like, come on, Eileen. He's not drinking. He's just sick. So, like, do you not think sometimes that you're in denial? Like, I'm not saying he's drinking. I'm just saying, do you ever think, Jesus, maybe I'm just a fool?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think myself and my wife, Brenda, I think we know Devin. I mean, you've got to meet this kid. Like, you know him. I mean,
he's a great kid. I mean, I'm just curious to know
but
the thinking of a dad.
I don't, yeah, with me, with Dev, I'm pretty wise to him. Do you know what I mean? I know, and I also, you know, drank like that as a kid. And, you know what I mean? And my dad, I think he would have known, but he just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because my dad never ratted on us. That was his
really?
Thing. Never ratted on us. Like, once he caught us with cigarettes, and my mother caught me and Cara McDermott with cigarettes, sorry, in the bedroom. We just had them on the bed. And my mum was going, what the fuck, you little bastards, they're fucking... And she was about to beat the shit out of both of us. And my dad walked in and going, what the fuck, what? My mum going, this cigarette, he goes, my dad goes, they're mine.
Right. He got you out of a jam.
Yeah, he went, they're mine, jeez, you feckin' ages. You take them off, they're mine. They've been on the table over there in the living room. And he took them. But he had to smoke John Player Blue for the day. which he hated. So, because he was a Carol smoker. But he took the rap. But I mean, even if he caught me drunk or drinking, he would never have told my mum.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he would have reacted to me, though, going. He wouldn't have gone. He wouldn't have been in denial. He would have went, listen now, don't be drinking, you fucking eat you. That's basically what would have happened. But me with Devin, you know, if and when, and well, when we catch him drinking, of course, because he's going to try it. And yeah, he could have tried it already. He could have tried it. But he hasn't had, basically we live out in the countryside. So he can't go anywhere.
Yeah, like, you got to pick him up.
The only time he can do it is in school. He's not going to do it in school during school, but they do have school discos. So that's the only time he'll do it.
They still have school discos?
Yeah.
Do they have slow sets?
No. And Devin goes, what's that? I go, where do you slow it down? You know, you get to be with a chick. He goes, yeah, we'll just talk to them and then, you know.
Just send him a picture of me knob.
Yeah, you can you can snog them outside, for Christ's sake, though. Do you know what I mean? So, So when he's in out in Drogheda now with his nan and granddad, he might hook up with his friends, and that could be it, you know. But the other thing is, like, it could happen here in Edinburgh one year, because I'm going to get him a little job when he comes in the venue, and I think that's when it all happens.
Oh, yeah, that's when it kicked off for John Bishop's kids.
Yeah, but with my 9-year-old, I reckon I'm going to be in prison probably at 13, sitting there in a cell waiting for him. Not me in a cell, but in the cop.
Do you think he's wild?
Collecting him. Yeah, he's wild, yeah. He's wild. At the moment, he's wild in a nice way. You know what I mean? He's lovely, but he's 9 trying to be 16. Because he's constantly wanting to do what his brother does.
Yeah, but he's got his older brother, yeah.
Constantly. Son. Do you know what? He's had the best line ever. He goes, his brother pushed him, whatever, and he's got a mad temper, the 9-year-old Daniel. And he goes, listen to me, you. He goes, right, all red-faced. I do rugby, GAA, jiu-jitsu. When I'm 15, I'm going to plant you through that fucking wall.
Daniel said that to Devin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And he goes, no, you only go, yeah, Will, because all you do is sit on your games, you spa. And then
that's so funny, because the younger brother always dreams of one day. And you know what's funny? When they're old enough to actually do it, they would never in a million years fight.
I know,
fight.
You know, yeah.
They would never in a million years fight.
What'll happen is, of course, you know, what is that, 9? That's like 6 years. So Devin be like 21. He's not going to fight Devin.
Yeah, exactly.
Devin's going to go, well, what'd you do that for? Don't do that. Let's chill out. Like, yeah, Devin's going to be,
well,
hopefully.
It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
But Dan is the little pit bull. He's the one that goes for you. You know, and he always goes for Devin's neck, which is mental.
That's hilarious.
I think that might be the jiu-jitsu thing, that he goes up in that area.
It's a mad thing about your dad, that he was sort of like this non-presence, but then every now and then he kind of liked getting you out of a jam.
Yeah, he was. Basically, you know, I always wonder, like, should, you know, we all of our fathers and mothers maybe shouldn't have got married. Load of them. Nearly our whole road were bad marriages. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like dads that never spoke to their wives and never did anything. But up in the pub, they were great crack. And then if they're out on the road talking to each other, the dads, they're really nice. They're talking to their kids. They're really nice. But, you know, once they get home, they're like moany and shy and going, how did this fucking happen? Do you know what I mean? But our dad, he was always like that to all of us. And he still is like that. And he'd give you, if you ask him for money for the shop, he'd go, yeah, no problem. Mind you would have to go upstairs and get his trousers, because he used to sit there in his jocks. Right?
Your dad was Al Bundy.
Yeah, basically.
For and the people that are under 35, the Al Bundy reference is Married with Children. Watch it, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, brilliant show. So I'd come downstairs with my dad's trousers. And have to give it to him. And then he'd rummage around and get the change out.
Go to the shop.
Yeah, and then he'd go to the shop at 50. He'd give me like 50p or a pound. He used to actually say to me, how much do you want? And I was a really nice kid as a kid. I used to go, I don't know, 50p, that'll do. But I could have said a fiver. He would have got me a fiver. So 50p, yeah. So went to the shop down 50p and got me,
So what's the difference? I mean, I don't want to get too into like psychological evaluation. But like, what happened that sort of a whole estate, I mean, I know it's a generalization, but a whole estate had these sort of absent semi-alcoholic fathers.
That was just a trend in Ireland.
Yeah. It was now, but all you guys, like, what about your friends? Like, what are their relationships like with their kids? Like, what's the...
Well, here we go, right? So I basically said on stage one night, I said, I'd love to meet the guy who decided to come home from work one day instead of going to the pub and then started to help his wife with the kids. Because we can't do that anymore. You know, you're expected to come straight home and look after the kids and help your wife. That's a norm.
Right? Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that. That's cool. I was never going to be a big drinker and do all that stuff. But on my road, I'm not joking when I say there must be only three of us that are still in marriages along the whole road.
Really? All divorced?
All my mates I hung around with, which are roughly about, you know, my good mates on the road, about 15 of us. About three of us only are still in their first marriages. The rest of them all came back, and some of them still live with their mothers right now. Because they copied what their parents did, like in that sense. They basically treated women the same way they watched their dad treat a woman. So in those days, women were there to cook and clean and raise kids.
Yeah.
They weren't there to be held or loved or hugged or... And especially they weren't there to be talked to. Like, my dad never sat down with my mum. I'd never seen him sit there and, like, just have a big heart-to-heart with her. You know, they'd watch the telly with each other, but they would talk through the telly. Like, did you ever see the royal family?
Yeah.
That's... I mean, that is a loving family in that sense. That's kind of the way the families would work. Except that guy, Jim, in the royal family is extra nice to his wife.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he never has any money. She always has the money.
But do you not think, okay, without making a judgment on the guys whose marriages didn't work, is it not more of a case that perhaps if divorce had been legal and not as shameful a thing,
then half
of those families wouldn't have lasted?
Nearly every... If that was like, you know, divorce must have been a big thing in the States, was it?
Yeah, it was normal.
That would have been, I'd say, every second household.
Yeah.
Amazing
to think it.
But listen to this. There was a family in our road called the Newmans and Monica, and she was a lovely woman, and the kids were the nicest kids. Good friend of mine, Kenneth. And their dad left. Their dad left.
Like, separated, quote unquote.
Separated,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, when they were all just little kids.
Yeah.
And for that on the road, I mean, my God, the whole road were like going, oh my God, that's just awful. That's awful. Can you imagine that happening to you? While secretly, I would say nearly every one of those women saying that would have loved for their husband just to go away.
Yeah.
And leave them.
But it's
to
funny
themselves.
How the guys are always the bad guys in this story.
Well,
have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, but you know what? Yes, and that's what I'm saying. They're the bad guys because they basically what it is that it's generations of, it's constant bad upbringing. So my dad would have watched his mum and dad live that way.
Yeah.
So my granddad going to the pub, my granddad going to the pub, my granddad going to work. Nana's just that. That's what she does.
Yeah.
He copies him.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right? They're just copying what they see from their dads, right? Now, mind you, we kind of broke the back of it, like I certainly did.
Well, that's a cultural thing, though, too, right?
Yeah.
The church lost its kind of power.
What
else do you think changed that made it possible that you could have a loving relationship with your wife? You're still together despite all the trials and tribulations of being a comedian. You guys are still together. You have a lovely family.
I think it's just people, you know, men just have more respect for women now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they definitely didn't have it then. Do you know what I mean? And a woman wasn't like they didn't. I didn't know anybody in my road that got their wife was being beaten. But we would never know that anyway. But the other thing is that we were very close as mates, and we told everybody, like all the mates.
Yeah.
So if one of the lads' dad hit the ma, he'd just tell us. He go, me fucking die, me ma last night, the prick, right? But so that we never seen any of that. Do you know what I mean? But basically now women are up. We are totally prepared to share the raising of a child, to share the running of a house. Like, my dad would never hoover a house. He wouldn't know what to do. Hoover? You know what I mean? And the dinner thing? No way. Remember, my ma was in hospital having my youngest sister, and my dad had to make us food. We were all around the table. He just looked at us and he went, so, like, what is he?
Like, no idea.
Yeah. He went, well, I like fish fingers. And he goes, really? Okay. He went in, And he made us all herring, like, you know, the fish. Yeah. He fried that. Went up and bought it.
Fried herring?
No, like, you know, like, yeah. You know, open and fried it on the pan. And all of us went, we don't eat that. The smell of it. And he's going, but fish is good for you. Oh, well done, Dad. Thanks for arriving into our lives and telling us fish is good for us. Like, so at the end of the day, I just think that a lot of these, now here, like, my mum and dad got married. My mum was a professional ballroom dancer in London. She was training in Soho. That was her life. And she met my dad. And this is how a lot of these women got together with these men. My dad worked for Guinness, right? And my mum said that was like winning the lottery in those days.
Steady job.
Steady job.
A lot of unemployment.
Yep, steady job. They could sort out your mortgage for you. They would sort out all your medication for you. Healthcare. Dental stuff for the children. So, what's a woman going to do then? My ma just gave up the whole idea of that stupid dream in London that she was told.
Oh.
You know, Dad, don't be doing that now. This man's got a good, solid job. And I think a lot of those women walked into, basically they were, and they didn't even have kids yet. But they're looking at going, yes, my kids will be safe with this man. That's good. Okay. And of course they would have, you know, vaguely loved them. You know what I mean? But on my road, I seen the couples that really loved each other. You'd know them. You know,
you'd
the
know the difference.
Yeah, yeah, you'd know the difference.
So that must have been nice for your ma. Because, like, obviously your ma was a performer.
Yeah.
It must have been nice for your ma all those years later to be able to be part of your success. Because I, one of the things I always remember about those early days when it kicked off for you, because I just started doing comedy just when it was kicking off for you.
Yeah.
And I remember your ma was around a lot more than other comedians. And your ma was kind of part of it.
She was, I mean, you know, the other reason for that as well is my mum raised us all in the house. So she went to all the school plays. She was always with us like that. She was always encouraging us. You know what I mean? She was always at the sport and things.
Yeah.
So this is kind of almost just another thing. Do you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
And she basically said, I wouldn't miss those shows for the world. That's my son up there. Of course I'm going to go. And she goes for those reasons. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, showbiz wise, I mean, she could have been like, you know, she could have whatever been a brilliant ballroom dancer, gone all the way. And what a lot of them did was with Strictly, you'll see those judges, they go on to just coach. So she could have stayed in London and
done all that.
And of course, us as little kids, I remember us all saying, "Oh man," because she was engaged to an RAF pilot as well. Can you believe it? Right, this English guy. And we went, he was a trainee now, pilot. And we said, oh, God, my dad could have been a pilot. And you would have been a ballroom dancer, you know, because our mum was obviously, she wasn't ready to tell us the birds and the bees just yet when we were like six. God, nah, you just came out of a different Mickey, lads. You all came out of a Guinness Mickey. That's where you all came out of.
I'm surprised you didn't have a white foamy head.
The whole lot of us going, oh, no, you Guinness family. But of course, that was it. And so There was their solid life. But now my mum and dad, you know, they've been through the mill. You know, you watch them and go through all those hard days of, you know, your dad in the pub and your ma trying to bleed and raise everybody. And now I couldn't see them without each other.
Yeah.
They sit there like two
old
dogs. There's
kind of something honourable about it, no? I mean, there has to be some love there.
Oh, there is.
Do you ever sometimes think you completely discount?
I do. I mean, and basically, it's a different type of love there to, you know, the love that people might be thinking in their heads right now, which is, oh, let's hug each other and hold hands and kiss and love and everything. But it's almost like a respectful love they have for each other. Like, when one of them goes, the other one is going to be fucking devastated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely devastated. And even though they moan about each other, like, so basically my dad, right, when you sit with my mum and my dad, right, and all of us, and my wife Brenda comes up to visit, my dad will go, so anyway, Brenda, so tell us how. And he go, how? And my ma goes, so tell us, Brenda, how are you? And my dad's looking at me, ma going, I just fucking asked the woman that.
Will you like just a double act.
Yeah, back off for a second. So they are like Albert and Costello, the two of them.
My mother said, just a couple of days before my dad died, I remember I was in the Cork Opera House doing some shows. And my mother told me on the phone, it was kind of sad, but it was kind of nice. She said, I was lying in bed last night listening to your dad snoring. And I spent most of my life thinking, I wish this fucker would stop snoring. And she said, last night it was the most beautiful sound in the world. I wish I could hear it for the rest of my life. So it's
funny.
That's
sad.
Yeah, it's sad, but that That's the stuff, you know. They bicker and they bicker and they bicker, but it's part of who they are.
Every single time I go to the house and my mum puts a dinner in front of my dad always goes, were those potatoes in long enough? Every time you'll go, you'll do that. You'll go, that fish could have done another 30 seconds. You know what I mean? And me mum going, do it yourself. And one time, right, my mum, I was up in the house, my mum put down these little baby potatoes and my dad doesn't like the skin of the potatoes. And he goes, hey, what the skin's on the potatoes, isn't it? Right? Well, you don't say it and you do it yourself, right? And we're all there. So my dad also doesn't give a shit who's there. Like, there could be, like, end of Kenny for dinner. He'd still go, what the fuck does, but what the skin of the potatoes, you know, right? And he says to me, ma, right? Me ma says, do it yourself, you feckin' idiot, right? And he goes, well, you know, I can't do that. He goes, why? Me ma goes, why? He goes, because I can't concentrate on such a small thing because it'll raise me blood pressure and I'll have a fucking stroke. So me ma took the play out and did it in the kitchen for him. this book I wrote, Des, right, which is called The Wonky Eyed Boy, is all... Right,
did you write it already?
Yeah, it's coming out in September.
Oh, great. Something to promote. Man, that's not even why you're doing this.
No, and it's from the age of 5 to 15, man, and I can't wait to give it to you. And you know who ended up being the star of the whole book? My book... What do you call it? My book agent. He said to me, is this book about you or your da? I go, why? And he goes, well, your da's in nearly every chapter and he's hilarious, right? And all that shit is in it. And my dad's got really a great dry wit. And so the potato thing happened, but my other favourite thing in the book, my dad came home from work. Father Murta, right, the local parish priest, he was fine, but he went into people's houses to get whiskey and sandwiches. He was never a fiddler, right, because we were all altar boys. Man, another funny thing, man. There was no way we were ever going to get a fiddler where we lived because the amount of us as altar boys... Like, literally, if any one of us were touched, we would have bleed and probably killed the priest. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you've been touching Carol's Mickey. I'm going to fucking kill you with that cross, right? So he was never a fiddler, but he was in the house. He was always wandering out of people's houses, right, in the day to get his whiskey and his sandwiches.
Yeah.
So he comes in, right? He's sitting in the chair in front of the telly, kind of slumped in it. And he has his whiskey. And my dad comes in from work, right? And my dad comes in, he opens the door, and he looks into the living room. And I'll never forget this, right? Looks in the living room and he comes back out and he goes, who the fuck's your man in the living room? And me man goes, because my dad never went to mass.
Yeah.
Didn't even know who your man. He goes, my man goes, that's Father Murta, right? He goes into the room, he stands in front of Father Murta, he goes, I don't give a bollocks who he is. He's in my fucking chair. Right? And Father Murta, it was probably in the 60s, had to get up out of the chair. My dad's like this, going, right, come on. Out of the chair and into the kitchen. And my dad sat in the chair. And me ma was... Fuck, me ma wouldn't talk to him for 2 weeks. To me dad. She goes, I have never been made a show of so much in all my life. What do you mean talking to a priest like that? Me dad goes, I don't give a bollocks who they are. He didn't care that way at all. And another... Here, let me say one more thing about in the book. This is a nice another bit where my dad...
That's great. Tell me all that.
My dad just did this, right? So there was a guy on the road called Michal, right? And I used to call him Michal. It was only, you know, stupid messing. Yeah.
He was an adult?
No, he was 2 years younger than me.
Right, okay.
And I go, all right, Michal, right? And that's a form of bullying without realizing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was never a bully, and I didn't mean it. I just thought it was funny and stupid. Sure, yeah.
Kids are like that.
Yeah, it's been really...
I mean, I was bullied and I bullied.
Yeah.
It's part of growing up.
I know, but I mean, I would never realize it was upsetting him that much. So his mum comes up to the house. My dad's in the house, right? And only me and my dad. Oh, here's ding dong, right? And my dad gets the paper. My dad always moves slowly, gets the paper. The bell's going a bit. My dad's literally going, well, you fucking wait a minute, right? Opens the door and he goes, so he never basically spoke to these women. He goes, what? To her. And she goes, excuse me, but your son Jason has been calling my lovely son Michal, Michal, right? And my dad, you can see my dad, because I look at it, you know, just behind him in the hall, and you can see him trying not to laugh, and he goes, he what? It's like that. You're calling me home, he goes, oh, for fuck, Jason, get over here, right? And he goes, what? And he goes, have you been calling this kid me home, right? And I went, and I started going, yeah, I'm really sorry. He goes, yeah, well, don't do it again, that's disgraceful, I'm very sorry, I'll sort him out. We close the door, and me dad burst out laughing. He goes, jeez, he goes, listen, he goes, I shouldn't be laughing, that's fucking funny as shit, though. Call him Michal, he goes, don't do it again. Don't have those fuckers calling to their door. And so he never told my mum. My mum never, ever. She'll read it in the book. That's the only time.
That's how she'll find out.
Yeah, she'll find loads of shit out in the book. She'll find the cigarette thing out as well. So I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to tell them until they read it.
Yeah, it's funny. So it's like a love-hate thing with your dad.
Oh, yeah, I love him. I absolutely love him. He's brilliant. And he's.
But you thought he was a shit dad.
Yeah, he was a shit dad. Yeah, it's like Jason Manford had a best... He was in Kilkenny there recently. And he came on stage and he goes, I see my dad, playing with my children, right, in the garden. And I go, where the fuck did he come from?
Yeah. Somebody actually, funny enough, somebody said that to me before.
Who's this fucker? He goes, I don't remember any of this shit when I was a kid. Like, he's going way and hiding and peekaboo. And he's going, oh, man. So we never got any of that, you know what I mean? But yeah. Even though your dad would go, oh, you always played football, which he goes, you didn't, you're shy.
Yeah. Well, but my line was, I'm not saying my parents didn't love me, they just forgot to let me know.
Yeah, exactly. So my mother on the phone will always go, now you know your father loves you. You know he loves you. He loves what you do, and he just told me to tell you that he loves you so much. So my dad's never said it, ever in his life, which is weird, because like, I kiss my kids and I say I love them. I actually even annoy them with it. I go up to my 6-year-old going, you know, I love you. I love you so much, Devin. Oh, my God. I actually can't even sleep. He goes, Dad, shut up, you dope. Right? You know?
I know, but I think it matters.
Oh, man. I know Devin. Devin and Dan, they're sensitive kids, and they love being told they're loved. I mean, all kids need to be told that they're loved. Do you know what I mean? But I don't hate my dad for it, because it's not his fault. Do you know what I mean? It was how his mother, who was a hard ass, raised him.
I know.
She never told him. Actually, it was more like kind of her end when I think about it. She never said she loved him. And my granddad didn't either, but he was a nicer guy. He said he would be hugging them and like giving them jockey backs and all. But she never really did it. So he got it from both ends. Do you know what I mean? And so look, you can say it's not his fault, but surely he knew that he shouldn't be doing that. But it's almost...
But do you think...
It's like a programmed robot that is programmed not to say it. And no matter how hard that robot tries, it can't, because it's not programmed.
It's just not in there.
Nope. You can go, robot, say you love him, and robot will just look at you. Say you love him, the robot will look at you. Until you type in, say you love him, he'll go, I love you. But it's not programmed into your father's brain.
You don't think you need it, do you?
Me?
Do you think you need it from him?
No. I was raised like that as well. And that's, with me, there's a bit of that in me. So I have to be very cautious and careful how I show love to my wife. I actually have to set it aside and go, right, I need to tell Brenda I love her now. Not to the kids, that's much easier. But to Brenda, I got to go, right, because it's programmed into me as well.
I'm identifying with everything you're talking about. It's programmed into me.
I don't feel like, I could go, I don't need to be told that I'm loved. I don't need that right now. I'm fine all the time. If Brenda never said it, I wouldn't really be bothered. But if I was told, listen, Jason, you don't need to tell anybody you love, apart from my kids who I really love and I have to say that to them, but to my wife who I love as well, if I talk, because I think it's because I think she's an adult and I look at her going, she doesn't need to be told that. And if someone said okay, you don't ever need to say that again, I wouldn't say it. It's just in there. I've watched it work. I've watched how it works. It's like, I don't have to say that.
It's in there for me too, even with kissing sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I gotta fucking affectionate force kissing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta force myself sometimes.
Yeah, but that's just because we're raised badly like that, We've gotta, I'll see my father-in-law and, my mother-in-law. They loved each other so much, but they had an amazing connection. They were both adopted, and none of them had brothers or sisters. They only had each other. Yeah. So they're like little lovebirds. But they will always, he will always kiss her on the forehead when he walks into a room or says goodbye, that little thing.
Yeah.
Fuck me, I never will. So now my wife is coming from the most lovable family where she's watched her dad kiss her, the mother on the head, hug her, hold her, tell her she's brilliant all the time. And I've come from the whole other end.
She marries
end.
This cold this stone cold fucking that idiot. She needs to put in the affection microwave.
Yeah. Do you know exactly where she goes? No, now and again, the hug would be nice.
Oh, man. I get that all the time. Like, over the years, different relationships, And, I feel like explaining to them, you don't understand. It fucking makes me sick to do this. I actually fucking, my skin is crawling right now. It's fucking, like, do you understand how uncomfortable I am right now?
I know. And you know what? And then you think, you know, maybe they should respect me and go, he's not the loving type. We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people our age. Because
that's the last thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, you and Brenda, and how do you work that out?
Well, as I said, basically, I've got to, you know, lock myself down and go, right, today I've got to make sure to show a bit of love over to Brenda here. And because we do comedy as well, we're kind of in our own bubble all the time. I don't know if you do that. I kind of drift off a lot and I go, right, I've got to do this with the comedy gig. I've got to do this with the gig. Sure. I've got to do this with the show.
I mean, that self-centeredness is there.
Yeah. And basically, you forget about the family who are sitting here waiting for the hugs and the love. And unfortunately, you know, the wife sometimes is at the end of that line. Just standing there going, don't forget about me now. I do nearly all the work at the end here. Don't forget about me. So with me and Brenda, basically I make sure she comes here to Edinburgh and that, you know, she's involved here and that we put time aside to walk around and just spend time with each other.
And she's all right with you talking about it, by the way, because I don't want to be
she hates me talking about it. No, she doesn't mind. In fact, she'd be down here going, I don't think he told you the full story, Dad. In fact, I think I got a hug at fucking Christmas in 1996. Like, what the fuck is he on about? Putting time aside, me hole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because in my head, I'm thinking I'm putting more time aside. And then again, you know what?
But she's a nag in your show. Yeah. More often than not, she's a nag.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, it's fictional.
No, no, I know, but I'm just curious.
And we have to basically heighten our stories.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of people meet Brenda and go, that's not Brenda. And one person once said, I thought she was a fat woman with black hair. I went, why? I went, I don't know. I just thought. So Brenda's like a gentle, tall, you know, thin, fucking really fit, good-looking lady that basically only ever gets angry because of me. Do you know what I mean? I'm the one that brings it out in her. So then I look at it and go, I wonder if I can use that.
But you think it's good that you found a woman that could challenge you all the time about that affection stuff? And also, you know, I think comedians need it. I mean, I think I should do a podcast where I fucking talk to comedians' wives because, like,
That'd be fucking brilliant.
I think that, like, how's it going, lads?
You can have this after
us with a pit bull.
You can have this after.
It's just a podcast.
Oh, that thing we just found it in the bush.
All right, then.
This literally was thrown out. It's just a recording device. So we're just two guys passing us with a pit bull.
Oh, we're recording for
recording a podcast. It's just a podcast about the fringe.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead. Hey, there's buzzing about through. The windows are jammed. The toilet's ain't healthy. He don't give a damn. He chuckles and smiles. He laughs like a madman. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sheriff Fat Man with his Valium, amphetamines, sick notes and phony prescriptions. Get up, you sleepy heads fuckers.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
And so that's Edinburgh, man.
That's Edinburgh right there. Yeah. That's actually, two guys passing with a pit bull.
I can't believe Brenda came down there. Brenda, get back upstairs.
Brenda, fuck off, Brenda. We're talking.
You know what I mean? Well, that's what happens when you don't show enough love for your wife.
She's got great dental work.
Yeah.
I wish we could have got a picture with those guys. Oh, anyway, shit, distracted man. Us from that. But, I was saying, I think it's just do a podcast with comedians' wives. Just because we are very obsessed with our work. Like, in a way, it's almost like when you were talking about it a minute ago, I was thinking, it's like we have two families.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Our own family, and then.
Like, it's great when
the
audience. When I get. But I also think that, like, it's when I get here, I love hooking up with you and Nassim and everybody. That's another family in my head.
Yes.
Because it's friends that if we were on the road, we would have hung all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then I get here and I get a Melbourne and everything I see is that's great. And
but
then,
I've had that over the years, man, at a comedy festival.
Yeah.
If my girlfriend's coming, I'll be like kind of happy, but also partially like, fuck.
Yeah, you got to see people. And
I'm working. I'm being honest. I'm not trying to say I'm an asshole, but like. Yeah. It's so all-consuming. So that can be a hard thing to navigate when you're married with kids. I mean, you have a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, well, here in Edinburgh as well, what people don't understand is that they go, yeah, you see your show at night, that's it. But it kind of is 24-hour a day, the whole show, because you're doing the interviews, you're thinking about the show, you're doing the podcast, you're doing the TV interview, you're doing this, that. It's full on. And then even meeting other TV commissioners and everything, it's almost like being at the office for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like bringing your family into the office.
Into the office.
And then saying, hey, would you just sit in the corner over there? I've just got to do this.
So then how does Brenda deal with the sort of like, she's present.
Ah, she goes.
She's present, but she's not present.
I'm present, but I'm not present, I think, is probably the better way to say it. But she's grand. I mean, there's so much for them to do. Like, I'm here talking to you and whatever. Their children are just chilling upstairs, and Dan will come down now and I'll play a little bit of golf with him or something. But, you know,
over the years, I've suffered with, like, say it's like an hour before the show.
Yeah.
And they don't quite understand how difficult that time is. And they're looking for looking for attention. You know, they're looking for attention. And you're like,
this is go away time.
Yeah, you gotta just
Brendan knows that with me. So she even said, like, yesterday she was like whatever, she was feeling a bit tired. And I went, I think her period was coming. That was coming on. That's okay, we can talk about that.
Oh yeah. It's in my show, man.
And anyway, so she went, oh yeah, I'm not going to get any infection from you because it's like 2 hours to the show.
That's what she knows.
And I went, yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get That's any. Why we're never going to separate. We fucking, you know me, babe. I love you. That'd be the moment where I'd be like, I love you.
Yeah, I love you there. There it is.
I should probably go down on her right
now. Yeah, right. Yeah, probably not. No, probably not. The period.
I went down on a girl once backstage at Spirit Nightclub. Do you remember when the last move to Spirit Nightclub?
Yes.
Yeah, I went down on a girl
God, well done.
And then it was like right up on stage, like wiped the mouth, fucking Dez Bishop.
Oh my God. Dez, you've had the best sex stories ever. It's not fair.
Anyway, well Jay, done. I think
we're sunburnt now.
We've covered loads. We're absolutely
well
sunburnt.
Well done, man. That was a good chat.
Oh, Jay, you made me laugh so much, man. When you talk about your dad,
man,
you know what? I'll get you on again in a month to tell more dad stories because your book will be coming out then. We'll give a little promo.
Absolutely.
When you talk about your dad, but you've always made me laugh talking about your dad.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, and as a last story, of course, we famously know that he was at a show. The only show he ever went to in Vicar Street.
He's only ever gone to one show.
Yeah, and he had a couple of whiskeys on him and somebody shouted, "I had your ma," from the audience. And I didn't even know my dad was there, but he was sitting beside that guy.
No way.
Did you not know this story?
No.
Yeah, he grabbed the guy. Started fucking dragging him around the steps and the bouncers had to drag me dad and everything. And I didn't even know because it was up in the balcony to my left. And I just heard a bit of ruckus. All I heard was, "You're fucking..." Right, because I didn't know my dad was at the show. Afterwards, my dad came backstage. My ma was looking a bit flustered. She was going, "Well, your father's here." My dad came over and his tie was all sideways and he had a whiskey in his hand. He goes, "Very good, chose one. Very good. Yeah, love that." And it wasn't until nearly 2 weeks later I found out, because my ma said to the bouncers, "Don't tell Jason, I'm mortified," that me dad was sitting right beside the guy who said, "I had your ma."
How did you feel about that? Were you happy or upset?
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. I just thought that was the best thing ever, because I said, if I was up there and my son was on stage, I would have kicked the living shit out of that guy. Just grabbed him. Because my dad says he can't go to shows because of hecklers. And that fucking one time he heckles and says,
"I had your ma."
Beside the fucker. Ask Maddie or any of them. It's the funniest story ever. The Maddie Arnold bouncers.
I don't know, man. I think you should, maybe next year's show should just be all about your dad.
Yeah, I know.
It's 5 stars in The Guardian, guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I don't really need the stars. I need the money.
Oh, we'll leave it there.
Basically, if I do that, I'm going to have to move into a smaller venue. There's no way. Thank you. I want my 800 seats at night.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you,
you
guys.
You know what?
Brilliant.
Since I opened it with you next to me, I'll close it. Thanks very much. That was Jason Byrne, who's still next to me as we watch a family of three finish out putting. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week. I haven't even picked the next guest, but please subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud or Stitcher, wherever you listen. And I'm at Dez Bishop on Twitter, Dez Buffer on Snapchat, Dez Bishop on Instagram. Jason, what's your...
JasonByrne.ie, at the Jason Byrne. And I think it's the same on Facebook as well. I haven't done it. I've done a bit of Snapchatting, but then I kind of got angry with it and stopped.
Right, so
I'll get back on that.
And buy Jason's book in August, but we'll probably have him on again because he's such a fun guest.
Yeah, we'll
talking. We'll do a drive around Dublin or something.
Yeah, drive around Dublin. We'll drive around my dad's area. We can drive. He was from
Jay. Yeah, Jay, we can drive, how about this?
My dad's from Crumlin, and then he's upright Sun Drive. He lived beside Brendan Behan, and my dad, you know, Brendan Behan, the hero of Ireland. My dad goes, "The man was a prick."
But he was a prick. My dad met him as well.
Anyway, fuck that.
Maybe we'll try to get your dad in.
Oh, he'd do it.
Funny with that.
Give him a whiskey and he'd get in the car.
That'll promote the shit out of the book. Nah. Anyway, Jason Byrne, ladies and gentlemen.
Love you, though.
We'll see you next week. Subscribe. And leave some comments. We're not getting enough comments.
Yeah, comment.
Comment, please.
Need more love.
Thank you. tell us you love us.
We love you, bastards.
We weren't told until 1995.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to you later,
bastard.
Bye.
Yeah, that's right. Send the Dez Bishop podcast some love, cause y'all know I love doing this podcast and I love talking to you. So spread the word on Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram. Send it wherever you can send some love.
And if you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, wherever your motherfuckers be listening to this shit. I'll be there for you. So, you know this ain't no one night stand. This long term relationship. We're gonna get to know each other warts and all. And I can't wait. I'm looking forward to this love affair. So we'll see y'all next week. Love you. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.